after 5 South African time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Yes, we are back. We are live. We live on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And we live on Radio Al Ansar International on this beautiful Jumu'ah Mubarak morning. Who start today is the 5th of Safar 1444. Welcome to the Q&A. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ustad.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyaz Hussain. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the day of Jumu'ah, Friday, the blessed honorable day. It is the 5th of Safar 1444. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, today we focus on Suratul Hajj, chapter 22 and verse number 36. Before I commence with the lesson, let us just apologize. You know, in South Africa, we have DC, direct current, we have AC, alternate current, and we have ANC and no current. So therefore, there were some technical, but now issues, what we've got the generator on now. So it's all systems go, inshallah al-Aziz, with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah, Jalla wa Alam. Okay, to understand today's lesson, you need to understand two terms. When we slaughter, for example, the goat, the sheep or the cow, so then the animal is made to lie on the side and then we slaughter it. That is called dhabah. And when we slaughter the camel, so the camel then is standing and the one hind leg, the back leg is fastened, and then you take that sharp big knife and then you just poke it there whilst it's standing. That is called nahar. So the Arabs, they know how to do this, and you know we don't know how to do regarding the camel and so forth. So that is what the lesson is all about today. Chapter 22, Suratul Hajj, verse number 36. وَالْبُدْنَا and the camels. جَعَلْنَاهَا لَكُمْ we have made these camels for your benefit. And you can ride it, you can use it, you can travel on it in the desert for days and days, and you can use the meat, you can use the milk of the she-camel. So many benefits. جَعَلْنَاهَا لَكُمْ we made it for your benefit. مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ it is one of the symbols and landmarks of Almighty Allah. لَكُمْ for your benefit. لَكُمْ فِي آخِير in it is goodness. So many benefits there are. And the meat is very, very tasty as well. We ate camel meat on several occasions. Drank the camel milk also, excellent. فَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا صَوَاف so you remember Almighty Allah Jalla Wala's name on these camels before you slaughter it in sawaf. So they will be placed in a row. In a row means that they will be standing whilst you slaughter it, sacrifice it. You won't put it on the ground and place it on the ground as we do with the goat or the sheep or the cow and so forth. So we need to take cognizance of that. Islam is not a religion only for ourselves. It is for humanity and posterity. So see what Almighty Allah teaches us. فَإِذَا وَجَبَتْ جُنُوبُهَا and when now you have sacrificed it, and now the camel falls. So now it is sacrificed, so it will fall down. The blood is oozing out, gushing out, all that. So now, after you have sacrificed it, what must you do? So you, the person who it belongs to, فَكُلُوا so eat from there yourself, minha from these camels, wa at'imu al-qani'a wal-mu'tar, wa at'imu sa'ila, qani'a as-sa'ila. So feed the beggars also. So remember, look at the world today. More than 6 billion people are suffering from the 7 billion people in one way or the other. So those who come and they are beggars, you feed them also, Muslim or non-Muslim. According to Imam Abu Hanifa, when it comes to the Qurbani animals or the Aqiqah animal, you can feed the non-Muslim also. Wal Mu'tar, and that person who comes there, but he doesn't say with his mouth, with his tongue and so forth, that, you know, that give me something, or stretch his hand. But you can see the body language, you can see that he's waiting there, that a certain amount should be given to him because of his self-esteem, self-respect. He doesn't want to ask you verbally. كَذَلِكَ سَمَلَلِي سَخَّرْنَاهَا لَكُمْ. We have made these animals subservient to you. We have made them subjugated to you. You saw how big a camel is? In my first Hajj in 75, the camel gave me a kick on my back. I was in Ihram, in the state of consecration. I flew in the air from one side to the other. So imagine a big guy like me, 100 kilos, 6 feet tall, and he did that to me. What about small children? But if you go to the Arab countries, you will see 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old youngsters riding it, and they're moving with it. They have camel races and so forth. كَذَلِكَ سَخَّرْنَاهَا لَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you will be grateful and thankful to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala for His ever recurring bounties and favors. So that is what we drink today in our tafsir. So let us give you some news, and then we give you some local news as well. Number one is this, that remember that if you take Saudi Arabia, they are supposed to be a leading example of Muslims. But we know that the leader there, the de facto leader is MBS, and he's Murtad bin Shaitan. He's not even a Muslim, he's out of the fold of Islam. So yesterday it went viral, and the day for yesterday as well, and it went viral, and the Telegraph and so many newspapers in the West carried the article, how they are treating their orphans and then girls and ladies and so forth, and beating them up and so forth. Now look at the report that comes from there. They're not worried so much about the brutality, oppression going on. They say, who's the person who leaked this, who took the video and then sent it out viral? So that is how. وَمَن يُهِنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِن مُكْرِمٍ. If you know how Saudi Arabia and the royal family and MBS work, they pay millions of dollars to various media, so you must always write positive stories about us. And because they know the media is a powerful tool and so forth, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, chapter 22, in this very chapter we are discussing, verse 8, وَمَنْ يُهِنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرِمٍ. Whosoever Almighty Allah humiliates and disgraces, then remember there's none to give them honor. You Americans, Barbara, Craig, whoever is supporting them, I told you, but you don't listen to me. In America, they took a survey. It's all in your newspapers, in your surveys. 75%, more than 70%, some places they write more than 70, some places they write 75%. They say that the democracy in America will not be lasting long. The democracy in America will not be longer, will not be lasting for a long period, meaning that maybe, they don't give time limit, but I'm telling you that maybe in our lifetime that America will be finished, and then once that happens, Israel falls and all these Arab tenpot dictators will fall. It is a domino effect, so we must remember that. And we make dua, let me be honest, we make dua that day must come sooner rather than later. And then we still support Putin. Putin. Putin is giving them a run for his money, and Putin says we got gas for next 100 years also. Obviously that is exaggeration and so forth, but you must remember that this America needs somebody to give them a big smack in their face, and likewise NATO and Europe and Israel and all of them. Then we see in South Africa, in Cape Town and Cape Province, there's a spate of kidnapping going on. And if you just look at that person, how he was tortured, his body cut to pieces, basically. And remember that. So this is our South Africa. And the ransom they are demanding is 20 million, according to the press. So where's the police? Where's our law enforcement agency? Let us be honest about this. As an ordinary South African, it's a beautiful country, destroyed by the corruption of the ANC and by the crooked politicians across the board. Remember that. But they have to take the bulk of the blame, because they are the government for the past 28 years. A disgrace it is, remember. You look at our police, majority corrupted, just waiting for a bribe and so forth. And for what you need such a bloated government and ministers and so forth. An absolute disgrace it is. And remember, you look at our judiciary, who's got confidence in the judiciary today? So you won't even want to go to the police station, because half of them, now look at there, the councillors in KZN, you the late Radio Ansar listeners, you should know this. Now they're appealing, half the councillors or quarter of them or what, they can't even read and write properly, but they're sitting as councillors. In our language, we got the proper term, you know, bunch of mufatiyas they are. That's what they are, majority of them, just filling their pockets at our expense. So that is our new South Africa, and Allah have mercy on us. Okay, quickly, today 11:20, we will join up with Makkah, inshallah al-Aziz. Sheikh Bandar Balila will render the khutbah, and after that I will be there in University of Johannesburg, the old Rao University, and inshallah 25 past 12 will be the adhan, 12:30 will be the talk, and after the salah, khutbah, salat and sunnats and so forth, we will have a Q&A. That will be for the students there at UJ, and that is at the campus there where the musalla is. So make dua, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala bless the Ummah, and Allah protect the Haramain Sharifain, Masjid al-Aqsa and all our masajid.
I see Rustenberg Ustad saying that, ask Mufti Saab, is it compulsory to stop at an accident scene that just happened, or due to fear of attack? Can we just drive past, Ustaz Rustenberg?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Obviously, in our current climate where there's so much crime, if you just go past, remember that, then nobody will hold you responsible. You know, sometimes to be the good Samaritan can work out to be a very expensive exercise. Allah forbid they steal your car, they steal something from your car, you know, you're traveling with your wife, they steal her bag and what, and so they steal your wallet. And use your discretion. If you feel you are in a safe place where there's a lot of traffic and so forth, then remember you stop. But if it's some isolated dark place, you carry on. You know, in South Africa, leave everybody else. I'm telling you myself that at night when I come back from Zakaria on Wednesday night, so remember it's almost 9 o'clock. So we just look left and right, and the robot is red, and we go through, because it's not safe at all. Some places it's very, very dark, and we know what happens in our streets and so forth. So remember that. Who's going to help you at that time there? So you have to use your discretion. Remember that you can't put your life at risk because of the incompetence of the police and the politicians.
From what time do we start the tashriq, ishraq namaz, Ustad?
Remember, wherever you are, work after sunrise. For example, today here by us will be 6:21, 6:22. So just say 6:20. So 15 minutes after that, so 6:35, inshallah, onwards, you can start reading your Ishraq Salah, 2 rakats. And you mothers and sisters, I'm addressing you, because normally you ask this question. Then after that, you can start reading another 2 rakats for Salah to Duha and Chash Namaz. So remember, the muhakkikin and great ulama have said the Ishraq Salat, Chaat Salat, Duha Salat, Namaz all starts at the same time, 15 minutes after sunrise, wherever you are.
Does the listener wants to know, Ustad, from Lanesia, what benefit, Mufti Sahib, is it to the deceased by going to their graves, Ustad?
Habibuna Mustafa Rahmatul Lil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah Fazuruha, you must go to the graveyard, addressing the man. Fa innaha tudhakkirul akhirah, it will remind you of the year after. And the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, various compilations, inshaAllah, you will find it. Now we see this person, people used to meet him, multi-millionaire, very famous. Then Jay say, Aya Vesegya. So how you came without anything? Then you left without anything. What happened to all the palaces? What happened to all the factories? What happened to all the money and all the smart cars? Nothing. So you couldn't take nothing with you. So that's the reminder. Me samja me ahamta, lekin ye wahamta. I used to think I'm an important person, but that was the figment of my imagination. So only for men, for women to go graveyard is not permissible. La anallahu zairatil kubur, la anallahu zawaratil kubur. Allah Ta'ala's curse is on women who visit the graveyard. The hadith is mentioned in Sunan Nasai, and that is our fatwa for all four schools.
Ustala, well, Sister Pravani, she says she's on her way to work, and she says, Hi sir, I'm listening to you guys. Is it true that the human body feels pain after death? I am curious to know about the pain the body feels when it is cremated. My name is Pravani, Ustad.
Thank you, my sister Pravani, for listening to us early in the morning. May Almighty Allah, the one and only Supreme Being, guide you, bless you as well on this Mubarak, blessed day of Friday. First thing you must do, because you know the English language very well, just remember it or make a note of it. There's a book called, and it's an Arabic translation from Arabic to English, but it is summarized, but for you it will be very good, my sister Pravani. The Journey of the Soul. The Journey of the Soul. The author is Ibn Qayyim. Ibn IBN, and then the second name, Qayyim, QAYYIM. The book is in Arabic, Kitabur Ruh, which I have, and I have the translation also lying somewhere, and that is The Journey of the Soul. So read that, and that will explain to you very well. Basically, we must go and remember from the start, we're living here in this world. So Islam teaches us that when the person passes away, then we bathe that person, and then we shroud that person with calico or something, you know, some simple material, inexpensive material, and 3 pieces for the male, 5 pieces for the female. Then we have the funeral prayer, and thereafter we bury him. Because you must remember, that is the most noble way to cremate, and all these type of things for us as Muslims and in Islam is totally haram and unlawful. Remember that. That's one issue. Second issue, that you are curious to know what happens post-death and so forth. So if the person passes away in Islam, Almighty Allah is pleased with him. His ruh, his soul goes to a very beautiful place. From there he can already witness paradise and Jannah. And if that person dies and is sane and mature without Iman Islam, then he goes to a dungeon and a prison which is very, very bad. Simple analogy, example for you, my sister Pravani. You hear every day in South Africa that this person is taken in custody. When is the court case? The court case will be in November. The court case is postponed for next year, February. So now when people pass away, they are like in custody. And then the court case will take place on the day of justice. Read that, my sister, The Journey of the Soul by Ibn Qayyim.
Subhanallah. Somebody wants to know here that are all Muftis Hufaz, anonymous Ustad.
Remember that it's not necessary that you must be a Hafiz. Some of the greatest ulama that have passed away and alive, I'll just mention 3, 4, 5 of them, and they were not Hafiz. Allama Amsh Kashmiri, Rahimahullah, one of the greatest scholars of Hadith produced there in India. So he was not Hafiz. Hazrat Allama bin Nuri, Rahimahullah, he celebrated student, he was not Hafiz. And you take Muftis, Mufti Taqi Usman, he got international fame. And remember, he's not Hafiz. His elder brother, Mufti Rafi, is Hafiz. Mufti Taqi is not Hafiz. And our Honorable Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haqsab, one of the most senior Muftis in South Africa, he's not Hafiz. So we will say that it is good to be a Hafiz and highly, highly recommended, but not a prerequisite. We will go one step ahead and say, for the true Mufti in this world, he should be a Hafiz, remember, preferable, and Hafiz of 1,000 hadiths, 2,000 hadiths, like that. And he should be a Hafiz of the 4 schools of thought. In that way there, then you become the real asset to the Ummah, but it's not a prerequisite, it is desirable.
Somebody says here, okay, this is a, he says, why do all other countries address you guys as terrorists, AK? Don't you guys feel ashamed? I mean, look at Bin Laden and look at Afia, your Afia. Your answer, please. Craig, who's that?
Craig, my brother, the biggest terrorists are you, the Americans, and the biggest terrorists are Israel. So don't you feel ashamed? Yesterday, Biden and the American terrorist regime is saying that they welcome the report against the Chinese regarding the Uyghur and so forth. I'm posing these 3 questions to you, Alan, and then you be honest and answer. What are my brothers, 30 of them, 40 of them, still doing in Guantanamo Bay? Where is the justice? Where is their human rights? Where is the democracy? Who should be ashamed, my brother? I'm asking you. So, Afia, my sister, is there on trumped-up charges. You must remember that. And who invaded Afghanistan for 20 years and murdered children, men and women? Who's the terrorist? Who's occupying whose land? You want to occupy the land of Afghanistan to steal the helium from there. How your brothers, the Jutlas, the Jews, apartheid terrorist Nazi regime, stealing, occupying the land, 74 years of Palestine, and you helping them. So who's the real terrorist, my brother? Who went into Iraq and murdered over 1 million people? You, the white man, Bush and Blair, who went into Vietnam and murdered and killed and raped so many women. So don't come and tell me that story of yours. You know why? The mass media which you watch is controlled by the Zionists, so therefore you like herd mentality. They told you take one vaccine on your right buttock, you took that. They told you take another one, you took another one. Then they told you take booster, you took booster. Then you ran away to America. And if America was so good, why you came back to South Africa, Alan? Speak now.
Craig, Ustad, not Alan.
Craig, sorry.
He says, I will respond to you soon, Ustad.
You respond, get all your politicians, and then we speak.
I've got your sister, Ranel. She says that you heard of the video clip COPE members physically attacking each other.
There's no hope for COPE. Tell COPE they buried and finished. You must remember them. My sister Ranel, if you know South African politics, 2009, they came into existence. That time they did well. But you see, our South African politicians, majority of them, they're not there to serve the people. They're all there, or 90%, to serve their pockets. So tell COPE there's no hope for COPE. You must remember, 2024 elections, they buried, done and dusted, thrown to the scraps of history, because they got so much. What an indictment upon them. In a media briefing, they hitting one another, scop, skip and donor, making them fools. You know, I can use some words, but anyway, so donkeys and idiots. You must remember these type of things here. So we say there's no, they only got 2 seats in parliament or 3 seats in parliament, so they're wasting their time. They must start preparing their final rights.
Azhar Ustad,
Please ask Mufti Saab, what is advisable for girls to do besides homeschooling, Ustad?
So you must remember, you must shape your life in such a manner that you're going to become an asset first and foremost to your husband. You're going to become an asset to your children. You're going to become an asset to your in-laws. You're going to become an asset to your community wherever you're going to get married and so forth. See, I give you examples. Today, if you take a normal sister, Azadville, Rustenburg, wherever, all South Africa, the whole world basically. So they are so engrossed in their studies, if you tell them that make a roti. You know, we love roti.
Mm-hmm.
They will make a square roti. They can't even make a proper roti. I'm speaking of majority. Tell them make a samosa. They can't even make a triangle samosa. You must remember that. So they'll make a square samosa. Tell them to cook a proper meal. 5 people are coming. Their huzu will break. So it shows that you are totally incompetent as far as running a house, as fulfilling the rights of your husband. The husband is not interested in your degrees. The husband is interested that you have to run his house, look after his children, and so forth. You can't be relying all the time on the internet or phoning your mother before every meal and so forth. So you see, like my wife, I tell you, just as example I'm giving, that from the past 30-35 years, we're issuing fatwa and verdict. She must have typed over 100,000. So fatwa, verdict. She never went to school or varsity or what. She went to primary school, standard 4, standard 5 or something, and finished in those days, in the 60s and so forth, so or 70s, early 70s. So the point I'm making here, my sister, is this. Learn those skills. Why? I'm asking you, do you know how to sew? Do you know how to knit? Do you know how to do the computers and all that way you can be an help and assistant to your husband? So that is what Islam wants, where we learn all this. Now she doesn't do because I know all this. Now it's very easy. A fool like me, I don't understand all these computers. A simple guy. So remember that even I can now type on the phones and that. Still, I don't type on the laptop. I just type on the phone. But 90% I give voice message because I don't have time. We're inundated. So I'm telling you, that there's no need for you to go to the public school and government school and varsity and so forth physically. You do what you want to do, provided it's permissible. Do it from your house with this intention. I'll become an asset to my husband, to my children, and to the ummah at large.
Mm. Subhanallah, subhanallah. There's an anonymous sister who starts saying that, can I sell my goods at a flea market? I am in full parda and need the money to look after my kids, Ustad.
It's haram for you to do that. You must remember, parda don't mean that you can go to the flea market every Saturday, Sunday, and so forth. So all that is haram. You women must understand three things. The first meaning of parda and hijab is waqarna fi buyutikunna. You must stay glued in your homes. That is the best place for you. That is the first parda. So hijab bil buyut. Remember to stay there. Surah 33, verse 33. Secondly, that if there's really a need or something, then you go out. And remember, in our violent South Africa and, you know, crime-riddled South Africa, then it's best to go with your husband or your mahram shopping, whatever, and so forth. You see the kidnapping, you see the raping, you see the gender violence, and so forth. Third one, you ladies and sisters, with due respect to you, you got the wrong end of the miswak, you got the wrong end of the stick. You'll think you just wear hijab for that, then you can gallivant everywhere. So that's not Islam. That is the deception of shaitan, is deceiving you. وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Shaitan deceives you. So now what do you do? I'm telling you, you can't go. So what must you do? Simple. You stay at home, you got your 3-4 flowers, whichever town, city you are, you contact the Maulana, you contact the people there, that I need food, I need rental, I need this, you all must organize for me zakat. So there's millions of zakat flowing around. Speaking of that, yesterday I sent out a message on all the groups and telegram that, yeah, the Mohana Shabir Saluji's son, Mohana Muhammad Saluji, and Mohana Yusuf Patel of Mayfair, mashallah, the Zaytun Trust. So that is an organization now you can rely on, and you can send them your zakat and lillah and what have you and so forth. For the Pakistani people, you know, they really need somebody to assist them. So we are there. Yesterday, the Mehman organization from Pakistan or from where, then they gave $10 million or something. So it was $10 million or something like that, but a very, very big sum, you must remember. So you got the money, so use it, mashallah, but give to reliable people. Last question.
Somebody says, Ustad, can a person use zakat money to start a non-zakatable person in a business who just needs a high initial start to start?
Not permissible, because you will tell him that you can't take zakat, but take the zakat money, and then you will remind him, and then you expecting some returns and all that. And first of all, to give zakat to a non, a person who is not eligible to receive zakat is haram, and no, even though your intention might be good, your zakat will not be discharged, your zakat will not be valid. So inshallah, Aziz, all the programs will continue as normal. Make dua that we get all the lights, electricity back in the lands. And secondly, 11:20 South African time, we will join you again with the khutbah and sermon from Makkah, Sheikh Bandar Balila's turn today. Barak, and I will be there in University of Johannesburg for the Jummah today, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.